But let's get into it. We're going to dive into our featured story here. Our first story is about Candace Owens, and where even to begin with this? Well, we'll talk about the events from this week. So as you know, Candace Owens has been on a crusade. She has been a woman possessed, obsessed with getting to the bottom of Charlie Kirk's assassination. She believes there was a conspiracy to kill him, an elaborate conspiracy that involved multiple governments and multiple law enforcement agencies and people inside Charlie Kirk's organization. This is her theory. This is her conjecture. As you know, for 3 months, she has done, I think almost every single show that she has done has been about this. She has deputized her millions of followers to help her in this investigation, and they have left no stone unturned. They've looked at, apparently, the report by the attending physician. They have looked at the tunnels, the utility hatch underneath the tent. They have looked at every angle of video showing the assassination. They have looked at the SD cards and the cameras from Turning Point. They have looked at everybody in the audience, the person that asked the final question. They've looked at Turning Point personnel. They brought in flight logs from an Egyptian military aircraft, or multiple Egyptian military aircraft. And they are alleging, her and her followers are alleging, that this is a truly multilateral conspiracy involving the FBI, the Utah police, Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's wife, his best friends, his business associates, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, the French government, the Israeli government, the Egyptian government, the Mossad. Like, this is the theory, that this is a conspiracy involving maybe hundreds of people, maybe thousands, dozens of people in Provo, Utah that day. Like I said, people in these law enforcement intelligence agencies at the highest levels of government. She's alleging there is a vast conspiracy to kill Charlie Kirk. Why? Who knows? Ostensibly, they say it was to shut him up because he was about to turn against Israel. They say that's why. With that in mind, Turning Point USA hosted an event with Tucker Carlson a few weeks after he died. And then Tucker did a show with me. So how does that make sense? Last I checked, Tucker is going to be at America Fest in December. So how do you explain that? The FBI, the French, the Israelis, the United States, Turning Point, the Mormons, they killed Charlie because he refused to disavow Tucker. Now that Charlie's out of the picture, they're going to bring Tucker to their events. And Tucker's going to do a show with me, and then he's going to go to America Fest and headline? It doesn't even make any sense. Anyway, we're not going to litigate that theory, but this has been the theory. And it is, in my opinion, done a lot of damage to the country because there are millions of people that are watching this, and they seem to be completely divorced from reality. We're 3 months in, and there seems to be no evidence at all. And much of the evidence is wrong. For example, she talks about this Egyptian military plane, and she got the time zone wrong because she didn't know what UTC meant. She thought it meant Utah time. And so she had an Egyptian plane present during the assassination and leaving afterward, but she misplaced it because she got the time zone wrong. And when people corrected her, she came out and said, well, you correcting me proves that I'm right, because you wouldn't care if I wasn't over the target. And it's things like that that freak me out, because it's like, if you're right, you're over the target. If you're wrong, you're also over the target. She comes out with this conspiracy that France is trying to kill her. She says, France is trying to kill me. Then she comes out and says, the French government didn't respond. The American government didn't respond. Suspicious. But didn't she say months ago that when the Israeli government responded to claims that they killed Charlie Kirk, that that was suspicious too? So if they say something, they're in on it. If they say nothing, they're in on it. It's this confirmation bias. No matter what the outcome is, whether the facts are right or wrong, or whether they never arrive at all, it always furthers, oh, well, they wouldn't do that unless, oh, well, that's really weird, isn't it? Just asking questions. There's always just this insinuation. There's never actually anything concrete or tangible or real. There's no, I don't even think there's a coherent theory at this point that explains it from point A to point B. It's just a sort of general, every permutation is simultaneously true all at once. And that's just not intellectually rigorous, and it's not serious, and it's not honest. And anyway, I think this is doing profound damage to the country. I think it's disturbing. I think it's weird that millions of people are watching this and they're buying into this psychosis. And it has gotten to the point now where the people that are being implicated in the conspiracy, I'm sure they're being harassed in their real life. She's going on a show that millions of people watch, and she's naming private individuals and inciting her followers to harass these people. Whether it's people that, you know, there's like a state representative and there's people in the audience and the guy that asks a question and Turning Point USA itself. And you know me, I don't love Turning Point and I don't love the people in there and I don't trust them. I don't trust Andrew Colvett. I mean, the guy's a spook and I could tell you all about Andrew Colvett. I don't trust him for 2 seconds. Blake Neff, he seems a little better. Jack Posobiec, I think, is a fed. So I don't really trust any of those people there. But with that being said, these are all people that were friends with Charlie Kirk, worked with Charlie Kirk. They're being accused of killing him. And these millions of people are being deputized to go and harass them and attack them and say that they're in on this big thing, really with no evidence. And so finally, Turning Point USA comes out with a statement earlier this week, and Blake Neff makes the statement. And Blake Neff was really the mastermind behind the Charlie Kirk podcast. He used to be a writer for Tucker Carlson. And Blake Neff comes out with a statement and says, we're going to do a live stream. It's a formal response. He says Turning Point is going to, I don't know if they're going to bring together a panel, but they said they're going to address all the allegations piece by piece, and they're going to formally respond to all the allegations. And they even addressed some with specificity in this announcement. They said they talked about the personnel that arranged the campus tour. They talked about the date of the campus tour and where it was and the personnel that were involved in planning the whole thing. And so they went through and debunked a few things and said, we're going to give a complete and formal and full response later in the month. And this is the best part, they say Candace is invited. She can come to the studio. She can be on the live stream and ask us anything. And I thought, wow, what a great opportunity. And honestly, I would watch that. This is a victory. It's a huge win. Because if you're pushing for the truth, if you're pushing for transparency, for exposure, then how do you do better than this? They're inviting you to do it live in person. So you can't hide on a live stream. If it's going out live, they can't edit it. They can't change it in post-production. And if it's in person, then you're not going to have any concern about AI, about people in an earpiece. Because that's always the concern when you do it remote, is that if you're in a different studio, then there's always suspicion. People are going to say, well, who's in the earpiece? Is there a teleprompter? Are they being fed something in real time in this day and age by AI? It makes it not fair. I'm a big believer in that. So this is like the perfect setup. I mean, it's on a silver platter. They said, we're going to answer every question. And you are invited live in person. We'll stream it and you can ask anything. That's a giant victory because even if you're someone like myself that believes that Turning Point was not involved in it, this is due diligence. This is transparency. If you had any questions about it, you would want this because this is going to bring the facts to light. And by the way, I will say, even as somebody that disagrees vehemently with Candace and what she's doing, and I don't even like her, it is unironically a victory for her. Now, I think that how she achieved this was a reckless disregard for the truth. That being said, she got it. She got the show, and I would watch it, and I would watch it with an open mind. And if you care about the truth, you would say, yeah, go. Go to the headquarters, and we'll find out. If you're right, we will apologize. If you're right, then I will eat this hat. I will eat this hat on the show. And I will apologize and say, you know what? She was right all along. And she's the journalist of the century because she exposed this. She forced them to be transparent. And then she got them on the stream. I'd be the first one, honest to God. I think she should do it. And if she's proven wrong, well, then at the minimum, if you're a defender, you could say, well, she got transparency. She fought for the truth when no one else fought as hard. And whether it goes her way or it doesn't go her way, everyone is better off because now we know the answers. We have more information than when we started, and that's good. And it might hurt her pride. It might hurt her ego. And it might discredit her. But you know what? There's a way that she could spin that, and she could say, well, you know what? We pushed, and we got to the bottom of it. But you have to do it. So they tell her, you can come out, and you can go to the studio. We'll do a live, ask anything, and you can respond in 24 hours, I think they said. And so Candace goes on her show, and she says, name the time, name the place. I'll do it. Let's do it tomorrow. We don't have to plan it. We don't need lawyers. Let's just do it, because I care about the truth. So at midnight last night, Turning Point puts out a statement. This is what they say. This is Blake Neff. Blake Neff says, quote, the live stream we announced on the show Wednesday has been set at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. local time on Monday, December 15th. A collection of Charlie's friends will respond to statements made by Candace Owens to set the record straight once and for all prior to the opening of America Fest, which is their big conference, which is going to take place like a day later. He says, we'll be live streaming from Charlie's Phoenix studio. Our offer from yesterday holds. If Candace wishes to join us in person in Phoenix, she is welcome to do so. She can let us know by the end of the day. Beautiful. Perfect. If I'm Candace Owens, I am jumping on a private jet and I'm there. She's got that kind of money. Her husband's loaded. She makes millions of dollars from her YouTube channel. You know how loaded her family is? Her father-in-law is this loaded commodities trader. He's one of the biggest donors for the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom. And Candace has donors too, like John Mappin. John? I know that John Mappin would pay for her private flight, the Scientologist that introduced her to her husband, George Farmer. John Mappin, the Scientologist who descends from the family that makes the jewels for the British crown. John Mappin, the man that takes credit for introducing her and her husband at Turning Point UK, the organization that he funded, that launched at an event that he hosted. I'm sure that Mappin would love to pay for that flight. He's been writing letters about her, writing Substack posts, and she's been retweeting him. He would pay for the private jet. She could literally take a private jet, armed to the teeth with a private security force, and she could arrange that. It's in 10 days. This was her response. She says, quote, kind of weird how you didn't email or call me to ask about times or availability and chose to instead tweet this confirmation out at midnight. Really? Why am I learning about this on X? Why am I learning about this? I love the like Karen tone. She's such a bitch. It's unbelievable. It's not why did you do this? It's why am I learning about this on X? She reminds me of every bitchy mom in my like Midwestern town. Every one of those like snooty. Why am I learning about this on X? She says, December 15th does not work in person. And 2 p.m. is also the literal time I do my podcast every day, which you knew. But we will happily cancel the daily podcast and join you guys virtually instead for the live stream on the 15th. If that works on your end, Let's lock it in. And I love, it's this is the Candace Owens MO. It's to find things that are completely arbitrary and then just vaguely insinuate that there's something conspiratorial. So she says, kind of weird how you didn't email or call me to ask about times. What's weird about that? Didn't you say on your show, on your own show, name the time, name the place, we don't need to plan it, we don't need lawyers, just say it? And so they go on Twitter and say, well, this is when we're doing the live stream and you're welcome to join us. And she goes, kind of weird. Not weird. No, it's kind of weird. I'm sorry. What's weird about that? You think they're going to send you an email after you accuse them of killing their boss? And you said yourself, you're not going to go through lawyers. So how exactly did you want it? Did you want it carried by a messenger pigeon? She goes, why am I finding out about this on X? This is really weird. Why didn't you call me? Call you? You're telling them that they killed their boss. You think they're going to say, hey, Candace, hi, hope you're doing well. So we're thinking of doing this live stream defending ourselves from the allegation that we're working with France and Israel to kill our own boss and friend that you're telling millions of people with no evidence. Well, when did you want to do that? What works for it? How do you think that's going to go? She goes, why am I learning about it on X? Then she says, you chose to tweet this confirmation out at midnight. Again, okay, so what? When were they supposed to tweet it out? During business hours? You're only supposed to respond to these things during business hours. You know, it's the 21st century. Like, people are up at midnight. We're on social media. You're up at midnight. I mean, what are you talking about? Isn't it weird that they posted it on Twitter and at midnight? No, not really. What, is that part of the French connection too? It's like with the text messages on Discord. Elle Reeve is pressing her saying, how do you know the text messages are fake? And she goes, they don't have any timestamps. Okay, so? Elle Reeve said, do you have any evidence they're fake? She goes, no. Okay. Then she goes and says, it doesn't work in person. Okay, why not? Like, genuinely, what excuse do you have? Anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. Suffice to say, she says, I can't make it in person, but let's do a stream. So Blake responds. He says, yesterday we made it clear that we would be scheduling a formal response to the allegations and accusations you have made. We've decided that response will be delivered during a live stream on December 15th. Thank you for your response, letting us know you will not be joining the in-person conversation. We will proceed without you. She replies, it has been decided by the public that the best response for this is for my team to live stream your live stream and provide commentary. Since you already picked our regular podcasting time, we look forward to providing live responses to your once and for all answers. And if we could just back it up for a minute. If you actually watch Blake Neff's statement on Wednesday, he said exactly that. He said, we have to respond to these allegations because they won't let it go. He said, we're going to issue a formal response. We're going to do it live in the studio later in the month. We'll announce it soon. He said, and Candace is welcome to join us. He didn't say, we're going to call her up and have a live debate over Zoom. He said, we are forced to respond to the allegations. We're going to do it here in the studio live later in the month. We're going to pick a time, and she is welcome to join us. That's what he said. And then what she said is, name the time, name the place. We don't need to plan it. We don't need lawyers. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it anytime. They announce on Twitter, we're doing our stream on the 15th. You're welcome to join us. She comes out and says, I can't do that. What about... Then she changes the deal. She insinuates there's funny business, even though there's nothing funny about that at all. That's what he said. That's what you said. Oh, this is really weird. This is really strange. Why'd you say it at midnight? That's when I'm doing my show. Your show is about this. It's about this. She goes, and anyway, I can't do it in person. That's no good. No excuse given. You know, it'd be one thing. And by the way, I think you kind of owe it to your audience. It'd be one thing if she said, who even knows? Like, I don't know, I'm going to my dad's funeral or something. Like, if there was some excuse, I think we're owed that, but not even an excuse. Oh, that's no good for me. How about Zoom changes the deal? And Blake comes out and says, well, yeah, that's not really what we said. This is when we're doing it, and you can come, and if you're not going to come, then okay, we'll proceed without you. She comes back and says, well, I'll live stream the live stream. And he goes, so what's really the whole point of all this? This is what you wanted. This is transparency. You're so busy that you can't fly out and do it. And by the way, she has been talking about this assassination, milking it every day for 3 months. And it truly is milking it. These like cliffhangers, the clickbait. She's been withholding evidence the whole time. She's withholding lots of things that she says, well, I'm going to wait to put this out. I'm going to wait to tell you everything Charlie told me in my dream. And every week it's, you got to tune in tomorrow. I just got a groundbreaking. Every week it's a groundbreaking discovery. And it never really is. She's been milking this for 3 months to her personal enrichment and self-aggrandizement. She has gotten millions of subscribers and views, probably millions of dollars, at the minimum, hundreds of thousands of dollars in 3 months. Her podcast has skyrocketed to the top off of this. And she claims that she is obsessively, that she will not let it go. She is obsessed with getting to the bottom of this conspiracy because she sees herself as in the middle of a spiritual, cosmic, intercontinental political battle that involves the French government, the Israeli government, the U.S. government. Charlie is communing with her in dreams. She's having visions about it. So she's at the center of a global satanic conspiracy. It's entered into the spiritual realm. She has been appointed or anointed to do this because she was Charlie's friend, and she's not like all these people that betrayed him. She's an angel. Everyone else is two-faced. She is perfect. So she's the only one that's going to do this. And that's why she's hell-bent on doing this show and the song and dance every day to get the truth, to get to the bottom of it for her friend. Okay. Well, she's been alleging that Turning Point killed their own boss, that Erica might have killed her own husband, and she's now the head of Turning Point, and that his closest friends killed him. She says Charlie told her that in a dream. Apparently, she has evidence of this. She says, I'm going to name names. She says, don't play with me. I'm going to name names. I'm going to air you out. They say, all right, already. Come to the studio. We'll explain it in person. Ask anything. She goes, oh, I'm busy that day. What could you possibly be busy with? If everything you're saying is true, what could possibly be more important? Because in your own words, this is about your friendship with Charlie. This is about the relationship between France and the United States. They're making an attempt on your life, allegedly. You're being told messages in dreams. God and the dead are communicating to you in visions and in dreams to do this. What could be more important? Honestly. And she says, well, I'm too busy to go in person, but I'm going to live stream it. So you're not busy on the actual day because you're going to live stream their live stream. You're going to live stream the live stream that you can't attend in person. So you're not that busy. So what is it that you have going on in the morning? It's like a 3-hour flight from Nashville to Phoenix. It's not a long flight. And what time are they doing it locally? They're doing it 2 p.m. local time. So you can't catch a flight at 11 a.m. on that morning and then fly back? It doesn't even make any sense. You can do your own stream in your own house. So you got something going on in the morning or the afternoon. Like you could squeeze in a stream about the stream, but you can't make a quick trip over there on a private jet. She says, oh, I can't make it. So what could be more important? Then people say, well, maybe she's worried about her life. She's worried about being killed. Okay, I understand that. I was worried that Tucker Carlson might kill me when I did his show, but I went. you sort of have to go. If you're going to be a martyr, that's part of it. You have to be courageous. You have to be brave. You're not courageous and brave for going and beating your chest and doing all these things. And then you get the opportunity that you have to act on. And you say, oh, I'm afraid. No, you have to step up and face the music. I'll add, maybe you don't find that convincing. If she's so afraid for her life, why was she at Tucker Carlson's Christmas party in Nashville last night? Why was she at Dollywood on Thanksgiving, the theme park? So allegedly, the French government and the Israeli intelligence have put a hit out on you. They've paid millions of dollars to kill you, but you're walking around a theme park in your town. You're walking around. For those that don't know, Dollywood, Dollyland. It's like Dolly Parton's Disney World. You're walking around Disney World? You're walking around an amusement park in your hometown on the holiday weekend when allegedly everyone's trying to kill you? Then you go to a Christmas party with Tucker Carlson in the same city attended by hundreds of people, and people know you're going to be there with Tucker and all the based people in one room, but you can't go to Turning Point where everybody knows you're going to be. And if anything happened to you, God forbid, they would immediately blame Turning Point. It doesn't even make any sense. So she says, I'm going to live stream the live stream and I'm going to fact check it in real time. Why? I think we all know why. She's totally full of shit. She doesn't care about the truth. If she did, she would go, no matter the cost. If she were really courageous and a truth teller, she would bootstrap it and she would say, wish me luck. She would kiss her husband when she walks out the door and say, I might not be coming back. And she would go and just fully send it and do it. Because if this is really, as she says, of cosmic, spiritual, geopolitical significance, you have to. And it's being offered up on a silver platter. You just have to. After talking all this shit, driving everybody against each other for the past 3 months, you got to do it. So clearly, she doesn't believe what she's saying as far as the significance of all of this. Secondly, I don't think she believes what she's saying about Turning Point. Why does she not want to go in person? Because if she goes in person, she might get caught on the back foot. She might find out that her whole theory was wrong and that all of her facts are wrong and she might not be able to explain herself. If she's at home, she's not under pressure. What's more, she's got her producer in her ear, like she did when I was on her show, like she does on all her shows. What's the producer's name? Skylar? She's going to have Skylar in her ear. So when she mispronounces something or she gets something wrong, she's going to say, Skylar, what was that? And Skylar can be on AI. Skylar can be on Twitter and he can help her out. She can have air support. That's what this is about. And so she knows, first of all, it's obviously she does not mean what she says. It is not that important to her. And she does not have the courage of her convictions. She knows she's going to melt at Turning Point. She needs backup. So then she's going to engage in yet another lie. And then she's going to gaslight the world and say, oh, I'm not a coward. It's not that I don't have the courage of my convictions. It's they are being weird. They're being weird. I'm not backing down. They said, we're going to do a stream. You said, name the time and place. They did. Now you're saying you can't go in person, but you can live stream it. And we all know why that is. But then she'll turn around and say, oh, I'm not a coward. They're just being weird. They announced it at midnight. So that's why I can't go. You can't go because they announced it at midnight. You can't go because you're seeing this on Twitter and not in your inbox. I mean, what are you even talking about? And so this is where it's like, if you're still on this train, I honestly have no respect for you. If you're still on board after this, I don't know how anybody can buy in. And like I said, I'm not saying this for rhetorical effect. I would actually love to see her talk to Turning Point, because there's not a losing scenario there. If she goes to Turning Point, we're either going to find out that she was right all along. She's going to bring the receipts. She's going to name the names. She's going to put the screws in these people, and she is going to blow the lid on everything. And you know what? If she's right, we want to know. If she's right, I want to know that, and I want to see it. I want to see it proved. And if she's right, I will issue a public apology on video in writing. I will say, you know what? I doubted you. I didn't get it. You were right all along, blah, blah. Honest to God. And if she's wrong, then we'll know that too. We'll know that whatever the errors she made are, we will know what they are. And maybe it'll bring us closer to a bigger truth about what happened to Charlie Kirk, whether it was Tyler Robinson or some other thing went on, or maybe Turning Point wasn't in on it. We'll know more. And I think everybody wants to see it. We want to see she's been building the energy for 3 months. This is supposed to be the climactic, like, jury trial, courtroom drama moment. And she goes, I can't go. Well, you know what? I can't take you seriously then. This is one of those moments you just got to do it. Put up or shut up. You talk all this shit. She's on her show every day, bobbing her head, all cocky. I'm going to name names, and you better not mess with me because I got the receipts and I'm going to name the names. That doesn't fit with my timeline. And it, you know, she's doing every day. She's doing this bullshit. Finally, they say, all right, you know what? Fine. Come to Turning Point. Let's just do a fucking live stream then. Ask us anything. She goes, oh, I can't do it that day. You know what? Then fuck you. Then you're just a malicious operative. That is pure malice. There's just no excuse for that. And I'm hearing excuses. People say it's the holidays. She's got kids. She could get assassinated. That none of that adds up. That's all bullshit. And everybody knows that. It's all a load of fucking bullshit. Everybody knows that if Ben Shapiro called me up and said, let's debate, I would be on the next flight to debate Ben Shapiro. And it's not even comparable because I don't do a show every single day, motherfucking Ben Shapiro, for 3 months. I have a feud with him. But you know, if Trump asked me to be on a stream, if Vance put me on a stream, if Shapiro, you know, even if I didn't have complete confidence, I would be nervous, but I would send it. I'd say, I did it with Tucker. Tucker's people hit me up. They said, come and do the show. I was very nervous. I thought he might kill me. But I said, I can't. I literally told myself, I can't back down. When I got the text, I was filled with apprehension and fear in the moment. But I said, I can't back down now. I will either get destroyed or it'll be okay or it'll be a triumph. I said, but I can't back down. That would be far worse. So I said, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. They said, we'll book your travel. I don't normally let people book my travel for security, but I said, if that's what you do, that's what you do. Fine. And I let them book all my stuff. And I went, and I was nervous about it. And I was uneasy the entire time, but I went, and I steeled myself and did it. And that's what you have to do, because I actually care. If I go and I'm attacking Tucker and I'm saying, you know what, man, bring me on the show then. Bring me on the show. You want a piece of me? Let's do it. When he said, let's do a show, I said, name the time, name the place. They gave me dates. I picked one. We went out there. We did it. I think they hit me up on October 5th and I came out on October 29th. So I had a little bit more notice, but nevertheless, I said, fuck it. I'll go out there and I'll do it. Same thing with Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan hit me up the other day on Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving. Come and do the show. I said, how's next Monday? So I saw that. It's just like, how do people buy into this now? I'm really disappointed in that. I mean, I can't be too disappointed because it's not a surprise, but it's like the audacity shocks even me to drive the country apart like this. Drive people to insanity over this, then you're given the opportunity to finally prove everybody wrong. And this is what she says on the show. She says, I have receipts. I'm going to name names. She's saying Tyler Boyer is a child molester. And look, I've talked to Tyler Boyer. And I don't know him really well. I wouldn't consider him a friend. I don't think he's molesting guys. at Turning Point. And if you're going to claim that, you need extraordinary evidence, actually. You're going to need extraordinary evidence to prove that. And she says, I've got the receipts. She says, Tyler Boyer is messing with young guys at Turning Point events. You don't go and they invite you to explain that. You don't go and face him. Well, what about the kids then? So, you know, who could take that seriously? That's just like, that is malicious and harmful. To go and say a wife killed her husband, to go and say a guy is sexually abusive, to go and say Charlie was betrayed by every single one of his friends, and to tell everybody, I have the proof and I'm going to name names, they tell you, okay, bring it on, and you go, oh, I can't make it that day. Oh, please, Candace. And I said this earlier this year. I have Candace Owens fatigue. It's a species of black fatigue. You know, people have black fatigue. I have Candace Owens fatigue. Loudmouth fucking idiot. Total loudmouth fucking black female narcissist retarded idiot is what she is. And a fucking coward at that, given this. I've so had enough. So, I mean, I watched that show. I don't know how she's going to face, but you know what? The audience is going to enable that. Audience reflexively makes excuses for that. But I've had it. I mean, I just can't stand it anymore. I have absolute Candace Owens fatigue. I think the country is so sick and tired of her. It's not even smart. It's just dumb. It's just dumb and malicious. And, you know, and I'm sick of hearing about it. So I can't wait until one of these people sues her. She really deserves it. She's got it coming. And I, you know, I'm hesitant to say that because I'm close friends with Alex Jones and I hate to see Alex going through it. But at this point, it's like, this is, and by the way, I'm going to say this also. As somebody in the information space, this is hurting all of us. And I'm not saying, oh, it's violence or whatever, but I'm saying we're in a moment where we need truth tellers. We need people that are going to leave no stone unturned. We need people that are going to bring alternative narratives about what's happening in the world. And she is hurting us in two ways. One, she makes us all look crazy. How? Because there's all the difference in the world between looking at Open Secrets, the website, and looking at which billionaires are giving which politicians money. There's all the difference between looking at these patronage networks and who's being funded by who and which media companies are being funded by who. That's one thing. It's another thing to say, I've had visions. I'm having visions and dreams of beekeepers and Egyptian aircraft. That's totally insane. And for her to concoct this conspiracy going back to the French Revolution, and it's about Project Paperclip and MK Ultra and the Stanford Prison Experiment. And it's about Egypt and France and Macron and Charlie Kirk and this. And you're just making all of us look totally insane. You're a kook. And by the way, this is a real strategy. Cass Sunstein created this. Cass Sunstein worked in the Obama administration. He wrote, and I believe he's from Harvard. He's from one of the Ivy Leagues. He wrote a paper about this. He said the way to destroy conspiracy theorists, it's not to debate them, it's not to debunk them, it's to make them look dumb by flooding the zone with crazy stuff. And so, for example, with 9/11, you've got very real evidence there. You've got the dancing Israelis, you've got the art students, you've got the text message that went out to all the Israelis. Like, you've got some real things that warrant attention. But then you have people saying the planes were holograms. Then you have people saying things like that, and they make you look crazy. That's one. Two is, in a media environment when everybody is clamoring for censorship and to suppress disinformation, what do you think this does to those arguments? Because 10 years ago, I would say I'm a free speech absolutist. How could you censor the truth? If you're censoring it, it means it's true. Here we are 10 years later. You've got this psycho. She's getting millions of views. And she's literally deputizing her followers to, like, look at all the people in the audience, college students, like some kid in Turning Point. Find this person. Find his name. Interrogate. Like, that is actually reckless. it is actually reckless. There's a responsible way to do that, and then there's an irresponsible way when you just start throwing things out without evidence, whipping your followers up into a frenzy that they're fighting some satanic conspiracy, and that's why they need to go and look at this private individual or this student that asked a question. That's reckless. It's reckless and irresponsible in the way you're treating this process. It's not rigorous. It's not rigorous. There's no sense of responsibility for society. And it bolsters arguments that we shouldn't have complete free speech. It actually fortifies those arguments, because how many times do you think this nonsense will be cited in a future congressional hearing about why we can't have free speech on YouTube or why we can't have free speech on Twitter? It hurts all of us. And even with regard to the Jewish conspiracy, it doesn't help that we're trying to articulate a very clear idea of what's going on, which is that you have something like a state within a state. Jews are a transnational nation. They live across borders, and they are represented by something like a state. The organized Jewry is like a government of all the Jews in the world. And so the way they operate in the United States and Israel, it's like a state within a state. It'd be like if China was able to call on with authority all the Chinese people in America. You would say, well, maybe not every Chinese person will heed the call, but if the powerful ones do, it might be a problem. Like, we're trying to articulate something, I think, very supportable like that. And she comes in and says, no, it's the Stanford Prison Experiment and MKUltra and Project Paperclip and the Frankists and the French Revolution. And you're like, yeah, you're making us look crazy. You're making us look like idiots. So I continue to believe this is like this little tear that she's been on. It has been one of the most damaging things to our side. People are always asking me, how do you feel about your generational run? How do you feel that everyone's red-pilled now? I think I'm always waiting for the next shoe to drop. That's how I feel. And I'm always worried that it's going to go too far. People are going to get carried away. And we're going to invite a pendulum swing back in the other direction. And I think that's what she's doing. And it's not good. So I saw this today. I'm like, it's just unbelievable. Earlier in the year, I said, my only response to Candace is just like, okay, you are so tiresome. I just look at her nonsense and I say, okay, Candace. She tells them anytime, any place. They go, okay, here's a time and place. She goes, well, that's not good for me. And that's weird that you said it at midnight. You go, okay, Candace, really? The French are trying to kill me. Really? Did you tell law enforcement? Well, I didn't submit it in any formal way. I didn't submit it in any of the formal channels. I just sent it to a buddy of mine. Okay, Candace. I have all the receipts. I'm going to name names. They invited you out there. You're not going to go? Okay. Such a ridiculous person. And whatever. She is what she is. At the minimum, she's profiting from it. What's really pathetic are the fans. What's really pathetic are the cultists. And no matter what, no matter how off she is, no matter how wrong she is, it's like a religious thing. It's like a weird, it's almost like a weird religious charismatic thing. People say that about me, but I don't think that's true. Because I think I'm self-deprecating, and I think that, look, I get attacked all the time, and I think I can admit when I'm wrong, and I think that I have a pretty rigorous process. This is like a weird charismatic religious thing. It's almost strikes me as like a weird Protestant, like religious guru thing. The way that she's fashioning herself is almost like a spiritual figure. It reminds me of what it must have been like in the Middle Ages. Somebody says, you know, oh, I got a private revelation or something like that, and start to build up a following in like a village of medieval peasants. That's what it feels like. And it's embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing. So, not cool.